All right, it's a beautiful night for baseball, a very special night in San Francisco baseball history. This will be the 10th one retired. I think it's 10 if I added them up correctly. Barry Boom says it's 12. Someone else said 11. We got to add. Carmen, can you add up how many numbers have actually been retired? Now, not including Jackie Robinson.
Is he including Mathewson and McGraw? Are you counting those two?
Well, they're not numbers that are retired, but jerseys that are retired.
Right, yeah. So you were not counting McGraw and Mathewson.
No, this is the 10th number.
There's the discrepancy. We found it.
If I'm correct, the 10th number to be retired. But Barry joins us. And, Barry, you have a different perspective than Bob Nightingale. As Bob looks at the bigger picture and understands the landscape, you actually have a personal relationship with Bonds, and you know the good, the bad, the middle, the man. So tell us a little bit what this means to you today to be here for this.
Well, it means a lot to me because I've been through so much with the guy. I had so many conversations with him on and off the record over the course of the years, and I've shared a lot of his frustration and angst and dealing with so many different things. So to finally get to the point where, 11 years after he was forced to retire, he didn't even want to retire. I mean, he wanted to play a couple more years. And he could have played here. He could have played, really, he would have been a great DH in the American League. But not one team in baseball would go for him at the minimum, even though he also said he would give that minimum money to charity. So it was premature. It took many years. And the court case that you were talking about for the Giants to get to the point where they were willing to do this. And I think it's great for everybody to finally hear.
So on the personal side of things, being that you knew him, I mean, like you said, on the record, off the record, is the public perception of him outside of this town, is it an accurate perception? Or is it a fair perception? Where are we on that?
I think it's a fair perception because, of the way Barry acted and the way he treated people. I mean, he didn't treat me like that,
right?
Or else we wouldn't have had the relationship we have. So, I saw a completely different side. I saw a side of Barry that was funny, glib, intelligent, angry. You could run the gamut. But, we could talk and we could poke fun at each other. And most of it was being able to poke fun at each other. And what I saw with Barry, with teammates and other people, is that if you could jabber with them, you were fine.
Mm-hmm.
That was really the test. But if you couldn't, if you took him seriously all the time, if you got offended by everything he did, then you were lost.
Yeah. What do you think about the gesture, the movement, to retire his number here? Not being in the Hall of Fame, but to acknowledge what he is to the franchise, to the city, to the fan base, and for what he meant to all those years. What does it mean to you to put that into some perspective?
Well, just to give you a counter story to this, the Dodgers also retire only their Hall of Famers. But when Jim Gilliam died before the 1978 World Series, the players, including Dusty, went to O'Malley and they said, "We're not going to play the World Series if you don't retire Gilliam's number." And Gilliam is the only Dodger that didn't go to the Hall of Fame whose number was retired. Now, I think, this is all, and you and I can agree on terms, it's all mishigas. The Yankees retire everybody's number, whether they're in the Hall of Fame or not. If you meant something to the ball club, you retire the number. And in Bonds' case, the whole thing with the Hall of Fame and the writers not voting him into the Hall of Fame is nothing that the Giants or Giant fans have any control of, or Bonds has any control of. So why should they wait on that to retire the best player in franchise history? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I really do. My feeling on retiring numbers, if the person meant something to the organization, like you just described, it's okay to do it. And I think it's fine. The Giants drew the line at Hall of Famers, and they just chose not to go down that road. There are other Giant players that, as I said, Will Clark could have his number retired.
Well, I think the organization feels maybe that they've split that hair by putting up the Wall of Fame as well, that now you're honoring those players in a different way, in their Ring of Honor way, without having to retire the number.
Right, but the Wall of Fame doesn't take a lot to get on it. You know,
right, there are qualifications versus just an impact on the organization.
Yeah,
I think I agree with you. Will Clark is really a guy that they should take a look at. I mean, the Yankees have guys like Reggie played there. He's in the Hall of Fame as a Yankee. He was there 5 years. You know, Garvey has his number retired in San Diego. He was there 5 years. He's not an original Padre by any of the extent. But Will Clark came up in the same organization, and, you know, he was back in one of their – he was one of their top draft picks.
Right.
I just don't think you have to be in the Hall of Fame to have your number retired.
Right.
I think you could mean so much to an organization. Yeah, look how many franchises. You know, if you want to take someone in Detroit, you know, who may not be in the Hall of Fame. Willie Horton. He's not in the Hall of Fame. He's got a statue, doesn't he, at Comerica Park? The great Jerry Coleman. Of course, he's a broadcaster in the Hall of Fame, but in San Diego. So I frankly believe it's okay. Now, if you don't want to do it because of Balco and because of things like that, you feel it's tainted, it's one thing. But I think when you look at the big picture of Barry Bonds, and I've said this when the show started, you know, I'm big on family. And when the family takes care of you, you come home and it's non-judgmental and you're looked at a safe place. And for Barry Bonds, and you know this is his safe place.
Well, and as I, you know, went through the whole litany in the column I wrote on Forbes the other day.
Go through the column a little bit.
I mean, this started with the fact, and I really truly believe, and I didn't even write this in the column. I think the day that Peter McGowan went to Barry and asked him to be in the home run hitting contest at the All-Star game in 2007, and he refused to do it, that was the day he separated himself from the Giants. If he had been in that, he would have finished his career whenever he wanted to as a Giant. So that was the last straw after, like, years and years of things and contentious stuff between them, not to mention the whole ongoing Balco. So when they separated and said, you're not with us anymore, you're done, then it took years and years and years for the Balco case to get adjudicated. And so by the time that happens, you know, you're finally getting to the point where the rough feelings have dissipated. He's now, you know, in a different place. And you can start thinking about the wall and the statue and the number retirement because it's the right thing to do.
Well, look at Monty Irvin. I mean, he is a Hall of Famer. But when you look at his career numbers, and of course he came in late because of discrimination against African-American players, he would have been the first Jackie Robinson but for World War II. But didn't have the amazing career. But his number's up there because he is a Hall of Famer, and he was one of the first African-Americans to be part of the New York Giants. So Bonds has his place. Is he the best player in franchise history? How old are you? If I ask you, or if I ask Adam, or if I ask Kerry Crowley, you'll have different answers because of the age difference and the generations. Because it's either Mays or Bonham.
But if you look at the overall numbers, where you say, A, Bonds is the only player in history with 700 homers and 500 stolen bases, and B, he's number four OPS behind, like, Williams, Gehrig, and Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's it. He's the best player in franchise history. I'm sorry. I love Willie. I love all these other guys. But Barry's a step above.
I don't think you're not going to get a debate from me. I won't argue it.
Yeah. Well, that's the argument. You know, but that's what baseball's all about.
The one case, and you can do ifs and buts forever with baseball, is that Willie Mays missed half of 52 and all of 53 and probably would have passed Babe Ruth had he played those years, but he didn't. And so we're talking 500, 500, 400, 400. We're talking about Barry Bonds as probably the greatest player ever.
Well, Mays played, of course, against the greats
yeah.
in his era.
The golden era.
Bonds did too, but Bonds probably transcended the greats more than Mays transcended the greats, even though the eye test tells you Willie was a superstar in the five categories. Something like that.
I can't disagree with any of that.
Yeah.
Please don't.
You're a guest. Don't disagree with me.
I mean, my top players, and, you know, nothing against Willie because I only saw him play live a handful of times, is Mantle, Gwynn, and, you know, Barry. Those are the three best hitters I've ever seen. And I saw most of their careers. You know, a good portion of Mickey's growing up. And I covered Tony's whole career from first hit to last hit. and Barry was around for, you know, the greatest parts of his career.
So where does Bonds go from here? He gets his number retired. What's next up for him?
Well, I think that's the question. And you talked a little bit to Bob about this. And if you look at the Hall of Fame ballot over the next 3 or 4 years, next year you have, or at the end of this year, you have Rivera, who's a slam dunk. Mm-hmm. You have Roy Halladay, that's going to get a lot of traction. You know, you have Edgar Martinez on the last year on the writer's ballot, who needs 20 votes to get in. And those are the three guys that have a really good chance to get in. Then it's Jeter's year the year after that. And in 2021, there are no viable first-round candidates on that ballot. In 2022, now you have A-Rod and Ortiz. So to me, as they gain traction and gain year in and year out with Clemens and Bonds, I look at 2021 being the year that's the best chance they have of getting in.
Okay. All right. We'll check it out. All right. Great to have you with us. Forbes.com. And where else are you writing these days?
Well, I did a piece in Giant magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Barry did a Q&A with me. I think it actually is the only interview he's done. You know, really, I love the guy, but you're getting your jersey retired and you're not doing interviews?
Well,
this is where Barry, you know,
he
doesn't get it.
That's the stigma, yeah.
Oh, well, you said it. You know, that's the problem. He'll get a great ovation. It's well-deserved, and he'll be immortal. In Giants franchise history.
And he should be.
But he won't walk along the railing and sign autographs for the kids or come on our show and just BS with us about baseball.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
although
the problem.
You had him last year when he got on the wall. Remember he stopped by? We were on, did that interview together?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you brought him out. I appreciate it. Yeah. But you're right. You put it very well. If he can overcome that, the doors would open for
him. Well, he's never going to overcome that.
Right.
And the other thing about it is, you know, there's a couple of things about Barry is that he's not a reader, and he doesn't comprehend the written word very well. Number two, you know, he's really shy. We had a long talk about this recently. He just doesn't like to do it. He feels very uncomfortable doing it. When he does it and he applies himself, he does very well. But it's something he just doesn't like to do.
All right.
So how do you, you know, it's not an arrogance. It's not, you know, that he's trying to, you know, bat his head against the wall and make everybody upset at him.
I understand.
Yeah.
Well, he did that interview with Rennell. I saw on the that Giants GMAG interview type thing. Same thing. They're up at some winery in Napa, and he had that conversation where he said, "You asked me to talk to you about anything. I'm awkward and I'm uncomfortable and I don't know what to say. But if you want me to teach somebody how to hit, that's where I'm comfortable. I can talk hitting every day of the week."
That's why you have to put that stuff aside and just deal with the player. Not worry about the man necessarily.
The baseball.
Just deal with that. And when you start talking about that, and as Barry Bloom just said, one of the greatest in the history of Major League Baseball, where's the argument? Where's the discussion? So that's the
issue.
And
the fact that my colleagues who are voting for the Hall of Fame still hold him culpable for other things that people have done and are in the Hall of Fame. I think Bob gave the litany of guys who are in already, who are suspected of doing steroids, very well.
Look, people paid a lot of money to come out here to see him. The ballpark was built. They won a World, not a World Series, but a pennant with him and had playoffs with him. You can't take any of that away. That happened. That's history. It really happened. And no one did it better than he did it, and that's why we have today. All right.
And it wasn't his fault that they didn't win that World Series. He had one of the great World Series in history.
True.
Yeah.
All right. You're done. Very
Thank
good. You.
You
did a great job.
All right.
Where are you next weekend?
It's a good question. I think I'm just home.
In Arizona?
In Arizona
All
next
right.
weekend.
We'll catch up with you. Barry,
All
thanks
right.
so much.
Bye-bye.
All right. More coming up on these sports.
All right.
Weekend.
Thanks, Marty. Thanks, guys.